old microphone.
Yeah. It looks like right. Right.
Like the broadcast.
Walter Cronkite from 1945.
Is it on?
Save. Yeah? You're telling me it's on? What time is the earliest for Mincha when can we daven? Maybe
12:10.
Is an Ireland that would want to daven Mincha earlier? Yeah. People staying around at 12:10. We'll see. We'll count. All right, we'll see afterwards of this. Okay, we say let's continue. We have a lot to do. So we're learning about this great chiddush. It's really the yesod of everything that we're going through now, that since it was revealed to us that the tachlis of creation is that the malchus of Hashem should be davke ala tachtainim, should be revealed, experienced by the tachtainim. And now that's the chayfetz of Hashem, of Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyosli Yisbarach Dira B'tachtonu. So we're learning that the greatest gilui of Hashem's malchus is davka at that time. Thank you very much. At that time of where the world will be inhabited by those Jews, and not only Jews, but Befrat Jews. We're not going to go into the avoda of Bnei Noach now. That's not for our learning right now. But davka by those Jews who are hanemuchim v'hashfeilim b'yosef. Davka by those Jews who are most confused, who are most beset by insanity, that davka avisa tehila, as we were learning from the piyut on Yom Kippur, that from davka from such Jews, Hashem is kivyochel longing for our songs, for our praises, for our faith, and for our belief. So that means that even though in early generations, because this is always something that's bothering us, and since I'm a kid, I'm thinking about this, and all of us have thought about it, that the earlier generations of our people consisted of many, many more great tzaddikim, malachi elyon, unbelievable tzaddikim, the earlier generations. And why didn't Mashiach come then? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait until now? Why didn't he come in the earlier generations of the Rishonim, of the Ga'onim and so on, and even the later tzaddikim? So now we're learning, once we understand the Shorash of creation, we're learning that davka, because of their greatness, the tachlis could not yet be revealed, because the tachlis is dir b'tachtonim. And since the earlier generations were not in such a place, there were madrigas of malachim in this world, and the Baruch Shalom has revealed, as we've spoken about many times, that davka anshei kodesh tiyumi, I want people of faith, I want people of holiness. I have enough malachim in Shemayim, I don't need more malachim. I want people of holiness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu davka wants the avoda of Jews, or the hepech, the opposite of malachim. Or the opposite of malachim. Therefore, those who are davka living in a time of greater hestapanim, of greater shiflus, are the ones who give Hashem the most nachas ruach. No, we can't believe that. It's hard for us until this sinks into our head. Because naturally, in every classroom, the Rebbe wants the boys that are the best boys. Naturally, as parents, the kids that are the easiest kids, the kids that are doing great, you naturally, those are the ones that you're connecting to. And those are the ones that you wish you had a full set of, right? It's natural to want that. But Avisa Tehila, we learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davka, the ikke chayfetz of Hashem in this world is by ha'nemuchim ha'shveilim b'yoser, that from those, from such Jews who are the most difficult, who are the most confused, that they should be able to somehow eke out emuna and Torah mitzvahs, that this is the greatest nachas ruach that Hashem has. And the truth is, it's been like that from the beginning. Again, I hope that you got on your phone. I mean, I know that Moshe David sent it. The shaila is whether or not you have your phone with you. I'm going to try to avoid with all the papers. It makes a bilbul, it makes a lot of shamus, and it costs the shul a lot of money, lots of money. So Moshe David sends it out. So you should take a look even until the morning of Sunday morning, and you'll have on the phone. If you don't, just try to pay attention or to look on with someone else. This is the seder of how things were from the very beginning. This is a Torah from Koshin to Magid that we have to mamish live with this Torah, to think about this Torah all the time. Again, we're going to do a little bit more, a few more weeks of this Nakuda, of understanding this Inyan of Dir B'Tachtonim, and then we're going to work on the Proteus of in Halach and in Machshav and Avoda of the Midah of Yisod of Kedushas Abris. It's found in the Avodis Yisrael of the Koshin Samagit. There are Likutim on Rosh Hashanah. In some editions, it's just printed in the Torahs of Rosh Hashanah. Some is printed separately in the Likutim. But it's in the Avodis Yisrael of the Koshin Samagit. On the Pasuk that's very familiar to us, from Navi, that we say in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, I remember the love and the kindness of your youth. Ahavas klolosayach, of the great love of when we became Chasan and Kala, of when we were joined together with him. Lechtech acharai b'midbar. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo yizivur. You went after me in the desert, in a land that was desolate, that was empty. Now, the Ari HaKadosh was bothered by one word in this pasuk. There's one word that really, really bothered the Ari HaKadosh. It's the word acharai. Lechtech acharai b'midbar. That bothered the Ari HaKadosh. And we have a general klal that it's not good for the Ari HaKadosh to be bothered by things. Because when Arizal saw that something was not the way that it should be, l'chayra, of course it should be this way, it's the pasuk. But he wasn't just Isaac and Diyukim in the pasuk, like other Mepharshim. He saw the whole world in that strange word, acharai. Uperish Arizal, she'oz haya hayichud panim ba'achor. In the Torah of the Arizal, there are two types of relationships. We've spoken about this many times over the years. There are two kinds of relationships. There's panim b'panim, face to face, and there's panim b'achor, face to the back or back to back. Those are two types of relationships. Two kinds of marriages, two models of parenting, friends, panim b'panim, panim b'achor. Hashem gave us the Torah. He says, panim b'panim, v'barati imachem. He gave the Torah to us in the way of panim b'panim, panim el panim, panim b'panim. He spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way. What the Arizal is bothered by is the pasuk that describes in the most beautiful and moving way our relationship with Hashem in the Midbar at the beginning of our time together with Him, of that relationship. The word is acharai. So the Rizal says, Pirush HaRizal, she'oz haya hayichud panim b'achor. Acharai, the Rizal is telling us, is giving away, is telling us that the relationship of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar with Hashem, the relationship with Hashem in the Midbar, was a relationship that was not panim b'panim. It was panim b'achor. Panim b'achor. It wasn't panim b'panim. Now, panim b'panim, of course, means the greatest intimacy and closeness. Panim b'achor means a relationship where there's separation and distance. So that's odd. Ayin shom b'kavanas musaf Rosh Hashanah, which the Kushner's Magid speaks about. We're not going to go into the end of this Torah, why by musaf we bring this pasuk, why we say this pasuk by musaf Rosh Hashanah. But the Arizal was wondering, v'zahayini nifla milahavim. So the Kushner's Magid is explaining, is telling us that Dairi revealed that the relationship that we had in the Midbar was acharai. It means that we were not facing him. We were not connecting to him in the most intimate, deepest way. That's odd. So the Magid says, is there any nifla milahavim? Klifi asagas kol seich lahaya dor kedar Midbar. According to everything we've ever learned, there was never a generation that was as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the Dor Midbar. We had arguments, say the husband and wife, the closest husband and wife, because they care so much about each other and they're so deeply in love, they're going to be in Yonim. But the time of the Midbar, he says, Lefi HaSagas Kol Seich Lo HaYador Kedor HaMidbar Asher Einehem Ro'u Niflos Hashem V'Oimetz G'dulosa B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Dor HaMidbar experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a way that it was more powerful than any other time in history. They saw their own eyes, the wonders of Hashem, all the makas, and Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Maimed HaSinai, they saw Atar Es L'Das, they saw the Mon, they saw the Anli HaKov, they saw everything. They had Moshe Rabbeinu, they had Aaron, they had Miriam, this is how they lived. Especially surrounded so we were living in the Midbar in such a matzav of ayin ba'ayin. So how could the Ari HaKadosh explain this pasuk of Lechtach Acharai, that it's a chisaron? Lechtach Acharai. And the whole pasuk sounds very romantic otherwise. Zechag lechesed nerayach, ahavas klul asayach. But it's Lechtach Acharai. And there the Ari HaKadosh says, Acharai is already, that's panim v'achor, that's not panim v'achor. It wasn't the tachlis. V'mkein ein lecha yichu knesset yisrael doida panim v'panim kazeh. There was no greater yichud, it would seem, there was no greater yichud, unity, relationship between Knesset Yisrael im Doido, with the Beloved, with Hashem, with the Shechin upon him, kazeh, like it was in the Dar Midbar. Kanoida ki aponim moira b'chol mokum agili elokus. Ponai, pnei Hashem, always means gili elokus, a revelation of elokus. So what's the Ari HaKadosh? What's he telling us? That Lechtach Acharai is a code that's revealing that that in the Midbar was not the Tachlis of Panim B'Panim, is Panim B'Achor. What is that? Lechenir Yilayashiv K'tzas Divei Chacham K'dor V'Aynais. The Kodesh of Magid is afraid, so he says, Yashiv Ktsas, maybe this could help a little bit. Al pi svara yeshara hofuch mehanal. I'm going to tell you a svara yeshara, a good svara, and it's the hofuch, it's the opposite of what we would think. A svara yeshara, which is hofuch mehanal. Hofuch mehanal means the opposite of everything about that we just learned about the Dor HaMidbar, where everything that we know about the Dor HaMidbar is it's the greatest generation that ever lived. And now the Kushner Magid says, I'm going to tell you Svar Yishara, that's the Hopacha now. It's the Hepacha that. It's just the opposite. What he's going to teach us is the greatest generation that ever lived is the last generation before Mashiach comes, or these generations at the end of time. The Hepach of everything that we would intuitively think. And from all that we've learned, Kibizman Dor HaMidbar Asher Ro Yimin Hashem Reimem Ha'Esa Chayil, because the generation of the Midbar who saw the right hand of Hashem exalted, Esa Chayil, and Hashem is revealing open miracles, Ugduloisav Ugvroisav, and all of His greatness and His strength. Bevade Ein Tema Asher Avadu Be'Emes Ubelev Shalom. So it's no great, wonder, it's no great chachma that they served Hashem be'emes u'b'lev shalom, truthfully and with a whole heart. Me'achas shahaya yerid aleim eish v'nashamayim. there was a fire that was coming down from Shemayim. So Yiras Hashem v'ahavosai, the fear of Hashem and the love of Hashem, they rise in the flois of Ba'aliel. They saw openly the wonders of Hashem. The presence of Hashem was clear to them. Lachain, Hagam Shahaisa Avodasam Bishlaimus. So even though it's true that they were Jews that were filled with the love and the fear of Hashem, and the Avodas Hashem was something beyond anything we could possibly comprehend, it was Bishlaimus. Will be SSAs, and it was so strong. Nevertheless, loy haisa chashuva kolkach. The Kodesh Magid says, and he's explaining the area Kodesh, loy haisa chashuva kolkach. It's not panim b'panim. It's panim b'achor. It's lechtach acharai. It's lechtach acharai. Kachush noisen lemi shiroa gedulas Hashem umalchusay kumaisam. Because hachush noisen, the senses, it's just the senses, it makes sense, and the senses themselves that are so completely bombarded by Hashem's presence, lemi shiroa gedulas Hashem umalchusay kumaisam, to see Hashem and his malchus umaisam, shikablov ol avayda mebnei adoin ha-adoinim, that they should accept upon themselves the oil of Avodas Hashem, Adon HaDon, the Master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in such a matzav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being unplugged in such a way. Lachin nikra yichud panim b'achor. Therefore, because it's not such a great chachma, it's not such a great accomplishment, that's called panim b'achor. That's not called panim b'panim. That's not the greatest intimacy, perfection. That's not, Hashem's Baruch does not consider that to be the closest that one can be with Him. The tachlis of Dveikus is not perfection. It's not perfect Jews. It's not Aleph Plus. That's not the tachlis. There's not in any way saying tzaddikim and not Choshev, Chas v'Sholom, that's not what he's saying. But that's not the Iker HaYichud. That's called Ponim B'achor. Oma Shekosov Zecharti Lo Chesed Nu'urayich. Ahavis Kol Losayich. Chaynu K'may Sha'omru B'medrash Shaholchu Shishim Ribu L'midbar Im Noshim Atav L'munosam. The ratio of the pasuk, when it says "Zachar l'chesed nirayach," that Hashem recalls with great fondness the love of that beginning that we had with Him, is the beginning the pasuk is telling us, because a whole nation, a whole shishim ribo, went out into the desert, men, women, and children, alamunosa. We didn't really know Him. And we went with emunah, we went with faith. So that leaving of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, that's gewalt. Because we didn't have any idea how are we going to eat and drink, how are we going to live. We call it starchus the riboy amkezeh. And all the things that are needed, that a nation, the millions of people need to survive, and mothers, there are women who are pregnant and women who are nursing, and how are we supposed to manage in such amounts? So they didn't ask any of these questions. That's the ratio of the pasuk. There Hashem says, Zachart l'chesed nirayach. When you have no idea how this is going to possibly work out, how could this be? That's called chesed nirayach. But then we move to the second phase, which is Lechtech Acharai B'Midbar. Now the simple pshat is all one thing, but the Ariya Kodesh says no. Lechtech Acharai B'Midbar V'afal Pichein Achakach B'Midbar. Once we are ready, once we were ready in the Midbar, and Hashem revealed the Mahalach of how we're going to live there with the mud and the clouds and everything, and we had Kriyas Yam Suf, and we had the Torah and all of that. Achrei Rois Am Neflos Nikra Yichud Panim Bachor. After we already were living in that wondrous experience of the Midbar, that's already called a Yichud Panim Ba'achar. That's called a Yichud. It is a Yichud, of course it's a Yichud. It's a relationship. But it's already called a relationship of Panim Ba'achar. A relationship of Panim Ba'achar. We had this whole discussion in the house. My girls, which means my wife and a couple of my daughters, and now we have Baruch Hashem granddaughters. So there was a letter that was written this past week in Mishpacha magazine. It said, you know, how most of the letters the Jews write, the name withheld, or just Rosh Hashanah. And even though they're perfectly nice and harmless letters, not like there's any great personal thing there, but I guess everybody's worried about they're getting caught or a shidduch or something like that. I've spoken about it very often, that's one of the surest signs of how sick our situation is, if you can't put your name on something. The truth is, I believe that if you don't write your name, they shouldn't be printed. If somebody can't write their name, they shouldn't print it. It's like that in every other newspaper in the world. Only by our publications, you have name withheld, and Rosh Tavis, or person hurting in Manchester. You know, they have these things. I know. Sometimes I understand if you're talking about an Indian in your family, you can't put your name. But they have things that are totally just svaras and ideas, name withheld. So there's a letter in this week's Mishpach. If you have it, take a look. It's too dramatic, but it's a good letter. And it's written by a person from Farakwe. It says somebody that was the name, somebody from Farakwe. So. Maybe it's one of you. I don't know. It sounds like it's in the cave. There's too much intelligence and sensitivity to be one of the guys. It sounds like in the cave. But this person from Farakwe writes about the Indian that's every week hacking about the problem with shidduchim. And the problem is, of course, that there aren't enough boys. Anybody here who has girls that are marriageable age, you know that this is what everybody is crying and worried and nervous and so on. So this woman is writing about. She writes about the big question is where are the good boys? Where are the good boys? Because there was a girl that wrote, a week or two ago, that she's considered to be what's called a great girl. She said, there's no Indian here of being humble or modest. I'm a great girl. In other words, I did everything right. I got everything good grades. I'm sneezedic. I went to the right seminary. I'm pretty. I'm skinny. Whatever it takes to be a great girl. Good midas, nice family. I'm a great girl. And she says, like, I haven't gotten a date like in a year or two, you know. So this is the big question. So of course there's a whole chevra that want to make it have to do with numbers and statistics, which kilu, there's no rebbeinu shlomo, the whole thing is interesting, but with numbers and statistics to try to work it out mathematically, there is a problem obviously with that, with the girls and the guys. But the aside hadavar, so this woman writes, like, so she wrote very straight, again I think it's a woman, she wrote very straight that the problem is that there were many, many, many more good boys when they were little in yeshiva. In other words, there was a population, if not the same, a little, but the numbers of boys are the same that go into the Beis Yaakovs and the girls' schools, and the number of boys that go into the yeshivas, right? They're the same. They entered the same amount of kids. Maybe you could say that there's 5% more girls, I don't know. But basically, it's the same amount of chevra went into the girls' schools, and the same amount of chevra went into the boys' schools. So now why do you have thousands and thousands and thousands of girls that are sitting here waiting around for a guy? Like, what happened? So to say the rich boys, they all have shidduch, but what happened to the rest? I mean, we need for each one a shidduch. So they all went in the same number into the girls' building and to the boys' building. But now the thousands of girls sitting around, And we don't know where the boy. What happened to them? Like, what happened to the guys? It's a good point, no? Like, what happened to them? They went in the same numbers. Where are they? So what she's writing is, she writes that they went in good boys, but they didn't come out. What happened, she said, is that in the yeshivas, what often happens in the yeshivas, is that only the top guys are rated. Not that anybody gives an official rating, but they're rated as top guys. It means top guys in the yeshiva means the guys that really know how to learn. So those are the top guys. The fact that you have other good boys, because they're all Jewish boys, they're good boys. But those good boys might be good in midas, or they might be good in other nice characteristics, or kind, sense of humor, personable, all kinds of things that work for other males in the world. Being personable, intelligent, having a sense of humor, being kind, being generous, being someone that helps other people. Every other civilization in the world, those are admirable, those are traits that work for you. You don't have to be, in every other civilization, you don't have to be Alamdin, right? They work for you. And you would be considered to be a top-rated human being. But what she says is that that's not how our system works. So in a way that's not written or said out loud, but very, very early on in their lives, boys begin to be classified in different groups of better boys and the schwache boys. Schwach is, you know what that means? A schwache boy. Could be he knows how to, it could be he's the sweetest boy in the world. It could be he's a bright and wonderful boy. Schwach means erlernisch zeugit. He's not such a lamden, right? He's not such a good learner. So he's already a schwache bocher. That doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. It's a schwache. So what happens, she says, is that thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of boys go in, and they're all like nice Jewish boys. But in the process, they are classified as good boys and schwache boys. With the girls, there's no inyan of being lamdanias. There's no inyan of gemara. There's no inyan of lamdas. If you're a nice girl, then you are a great girl. And it says, and all the neighbors and everybody says about you in the school says, great girl, great girl. Now, all of these great girls are having a problem because the vast majority of boys that are coming out are schwache bochen, are class B, class C. Only the top class of boys, the guys that are really, really not just that they know how to learn, because other guys are also smart, but most of them, but because they love learning and they're into learning, right? Those are the good boys. So now we have an unbelievable imbalance in the population. We have tens of thousands, Kanai Nahara, of great girls. Because to be a great girl doesn't mean that you have to be able to answer Rabbi Kivega's kash, you understand? So you're a great girl because you have nice midas, you're sweet, you do chesed stuff, you're a great girl. But if you have a boy that has good midas and he does chesed things, in our world of the yeshivas, that's oftentimes that's considered to be loser. Class B, class C, a schwache bocher. The Rebbe will say, he's a nice boy, he's a nice boy. You could do better. There's no other civilization in the world that has such a thing. He's bright, he has a sense of humor, he's kind, he does chesed. You could do better. Why do you have to do better than that? What's wrong with that? You could do better. And then on top of that, all the other stuff about he only wants to learn maybe for a year, and then he wants to go to work, or he's already working, all of these other things that she doesn't even write about, but that again, any other civilization in the world, those are not chesroinus. Now, here's a guy that would like to make a good living to support you and the children with God's help. I'm sorry, that's not something I could do better. My daughter, could do better. think about it. There's no other civilization that has ever existed, including the Jewish civilization. There's all just new. Including us. We never lived this way. You could do better. Think of your Zaydis and your Bobbies. I mean, our grandparents. Could you imagine? Our grandparents, they were Elohim, right? God-fearing Jews. They wouldn't have been on any Shadchan as a, you know, like an Esrig, Aleph plus, anything. Wouldn't have been a Mahadran, a Menah Mahadran. They ask about your grandfather, my grandfather. What's the story with him? You know, he works. He's an Elohim. He davens three times a day. He goes to shul. He's busy in shul. He helps people. He sits down in the morning. He goes to Ein Yankiv Shir. He goes a little bit to mikveh every now and then. It's a shvach. That's not a good Jew? Why isn't that a good Jew? So the point that she's making is, so then you have thousands of great girls. Of course there are thousands of great boys. The same amount. They're wonderful. They're Jewish boys. But from the time that they were 11, 12, 13, and starting even earlier, they began to believe that they're not good boys. Not that anybody necessarily told them sometimes, but they're beginning to believe that they're not good boys. And if you think that you're not a good boy, so then you start to act a little bit wild, you start to go like this, you start to go like that, you start to look a certain way, and you go like this, and this shirt comes here, and this looks at that, and you start to look like a cool dude. And then before you know it, the great girl won't go out with a guy like that. He is a bemis, a great guy. But he hasn't heard that. Maybe from his grandmother he hears it, but he doesn't hear from anybody else. And he was classified as Beis Gimel Dalet. So all the Olive girls, because they don't have this whole classification thing, they're just nice girls. All these Olive girls are now waiting for a phone call from the Shadchan. And we're all the good boys. All the good boys no longer see themselves as good boys. The Shadchanim don't identify them as good boys. The Rosh Yeshivas don't see them as good boys until they become very rich and will be honored by the dinner. They're not seen anymore. Then all of a sudden there's a speech by the dinner. It's gavald that he, despite all of his, how busy he is with work, he puts aside 9 minutes a day to learn. And we're so proud of him. All of a sudden everybody's proud of the guy because he learns for nine minutes a day because he became a big veer. And they're going to give him by the Daf Yomi, he'll have a whole section in left field or something, right? With food, hot food and everything. In the yeshiva, when he was in the yeshiva, it was Ashvach. When it came to a shidduch, they called the yeshiva about this boy, it was Ashvach. All of a sudden, the guy makes $10 million. Oh, Isaiah Gutter. Isaiah, oh, it's very choshev. No, he learns every day, very, very choshev. He learns every day. He davens, goes to minyan twice a week. He's very choshev. He's very choshev. When he was growing up, he wasn't choshev. He was class B, class C. He was an esrog that was puzzled and thrown in the garbage. And now all of a sudden, there's going you know, he was like a class A. All these classifications. It's so painful. It's hard to even, unless you make jokes, because if you talk about it seriously, you won't be able to move. So, what happened to the good boys? See, here what the Kushner Magid is saying. He says, when we left Mitzrayim, so we left Mitzrayim, we had Emunah, we went after Hashem, then we came to the Midbar. So in the Midbar, we became Class A. Class A. We became Aleph Plus boys, because in the Midbar, we got the Torah, Atiris Ladas, everything was Kriyas Yamsuf, the clouds, everybody was on fire, Havas Hashem, Yos Hashem, like we were all the best boys in the class. Everything was gevaldik in the Midbar, and the Ari HaKadosh says, yeah, then why does it say Acharai? why does it say Acharai, Panim B'Achor? You know the most choshev kids in our community? The most choshev Jews in the world, and the choshev kids in our community, we talk about this all the time, are the ones who had to go through different struggles and challenges that didn't come from things that are so poshut. Those are the most choshev. Be'emes. When I talk about chashivas, the ones that don't crack, the ones that don't crack the second the air conditioning goes, you know what I mean? The most choshev chevra are the ones who go through difficulties. The ones who don't have the mun falling down in their lives. The ones who don't have clouds surrounding them. The ones who go through different inyanim in life. Those are the most choshev, the survivors. Those are the most choshev. So the Kushner's Magid says, it's the opposite of what we would think. When we left, and when we were in the Midbar, it was Pana Bachor. Listen what he says. B'daris achroinim. But now we're talking about ourselves and the later generations. Achakach b'daris achroinim. Kol ma shekvayt Hashem haste dar v'yoysa. The more hidden Hashem is, the more hidden he is. So then afterwards, in later generations, we're already Beis, Gimel, Dalet class, not Aleph class. Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Ve'ein nira oimitz yodu nefloisav. And in the later generations, where we don't see Hashem's wonders, we don't see Hashem's strength and wonders. Va'afal pichein mischazekes knesis Yisrael. And despite the darkness and the challenges, despite all of that, despite how hard it is, she still tries to stay attached to the Creator. And to be a Jew that's mekabel ol malchus, that accepts ol malchus. In the Gimel class, in the Dal class, with Hester upon him. After everybody's told you that you're nothing, you're worthless, the whole generation is nothing, worthless. No more tzaddikim, nothing like it used to be, and so on. And we don't turn and leave to go to other things, meaning to Avodah Zarah and to Kishuf and what it means to the options that are out there. So you'll see, so there's a kid, the Davka Zashvach, who is classified, he's not Chasson, but he's classified as Zashvach. And he's not like the top guys that are sitting and steiging all the time and so on. He's Hashvach. And despite all of that, that he already saw himself as being a Beis Gimel Dal, as being a pogum, an apostle, a balmum, from the time that he was already a little kid. And despite that, he still tries to put on tzitzis and tefillin, and he still tries to daven. So regarding such kids, the Baruch Shalom says, that's what he explains the Ariya Kodesh. Panim upon him. The biggest nachas ruach. As the Kushner Magid says, I'm going to tell you now a Svel Yashar, that's the hepech of what everybody's thinking. That's what he says. The opposite of what everybody thinks. The opposite of every principal, of every parent, of every administrator, the opposite of what the world thinks. That's a Svel Yashar, but it's the hepech. It's a Svel Yashar, but it's the hepech of what it's counterintuitive. And you could magnify this 1,000 times and hang it up in every yeshiva, and it will be that it's not negay to our chaver. It's talking about the wonderful people who are doing good work, like you know the kids that are on drugs. Or the, yeah, and then everybody says, yeah, we love you. The kids that have problems with drugs or other things like that, then to hurry to try to make some organization so we can get them back. You know, into shul or something. But regular boys, regular girls, chevra, growing up in our communities, in our homes. Bifrat b'churban u'motzer u'motzeik. And especially Jews who live through churban, and motzer and motzeik, all kinds of... Churban doesn't have to mean just the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't have to mean just the Holocaust, or the Inquisition. It means churban, motzer u'motzeik. Churban, motzer u'motzeik. I was talking last night for a few minutes to the girls that were sexually abused. Va'afal pichein, that they're still maminais, they still believe in God. They still say a kriyishma after what they've been through. They still say a kriyishma, they're still a baruch shalom after the uncle, the brother, the father, the cousin, the rabbi. After everything they've been through. After every drop of innocence was stolen from them. And they still try to say Shema Yisrael Shema Kiddush Shema Chad. So the Goshen's Maggid says, I'm going to tell you a Svar Yashar Shehafuch. that from these Jews, the Baruch Shalom has the biggest Nachas Ruach. Not from the ones who, when they hear such a thing, they're going to say, oh, you're saying that we're not chashuv like them. That's what you're saying. You're saying that these girls are more chashuv than the Gedolim? Is that what you're saying? All the opposite. Yuchalios kavodosam nikra b'shem yichud panim upon. The Maggid says it carefully. He says, Yuchalios. Because he also had people that were going to give him trouble. Yuchalios kavodosam nikra b'shem yichud panim upon. Now you see how the Talmudei Baal Shem, the Baal Shem himself and the Talmudei Baal Shem, what love they had for simple Jews and even for Poishim and Rishayim and Chaitim. You see that they had such a love. That doesn't mean that they said you don't have to fix things up. That doesn't mean that they, but they understood the mahalach of fixing things up is to see these people for who they really are. That they're not Beis Gimel Dalet. The Aleph. And not to say that these are the people who are greater than the Rabbanim. That's what the rabbis are all getting upset because the Baal Shem Tov, because how they were knowing with the simple Jews that they, and the Rabbanim got all upset that how come you're showing more Derech Eretz to Amaratzim and to Parsha Diyidin than you're showing to Rabbanim, because against the Rabbanim, because the Talmudei Baal Shem used to often make fun of some of the buffoons that were darshaning and so on. And but you show Derech Eretz for the simple Jews and you make fun of the Rabbanim. This is what got everybody all worked up. This nekuda of lechtach acherai b'midbar, as opposed to zechart lechesed nirayach ahavus klal asayach. B'fat b'churban matzo yuchalios ki avadosan nikur b'shem yichud panim b'panim. That's called yichud panim b'panim. Then he explains the kavanas of Rosh Hashanah, Musaf Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to go into that. He brings over here a famous thing. We have another minute. Let me just see. Yeah, another minute. Good. He brings here in the Ois V'Hada in the famous thing from the that's brought down in the Shai Gilgulim. That it brings from Rabbi Chaim Vital. It's brought down in the Hagdom Alam Ches and Shal Gilgulim. I'll just read to you a few sentences or two. We've spoken about this already, this Shal Gilgulim, a number of times over the years, but some of you might not have heard it. The Rabbi Chaim Vital says, Pamachas Sha'alti, the Marizal. He says, I once asked my Rabbi. The Rabbi of Rabbi Chaim Vital was who? Rabbi? He says, I asked my Rabbi, Echayo Oimeli Shanafshi, Hoysa Kolkach Mu'ula Kaniskalel. The Arizal said to Rabbi Chaim Vital that you should know that your neshama is bigger than Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Chaim Vital said, I asked Mary, how could you say such a thing about me? Rabbi Chaim Vital said, even the smallest by the Tanaim and Aroim, by the early generation, by the Rishonim, I can't reach their heels. So how could you say that I'm higher than Rabbi Akiva? Or like Rabbi Kiva, higher than Rabbi Kiva. V'amali dalucha ke'ein gedulas hanefesh tluy k'fi ma'ase adam. Ein gedulas hanefesh, the greatness of one's soul that does not depend upon k'fi ma'ase adam. These are Arizal's words. Rabbi Chaim Vital. Rak fi azman v'hador hahu. It's measured by the time and the generation. Ki ma'ase katan ma'ay b'dor hazeh. Because even the smallest good thing that you do, that a Jew does, in our generation, we're talking about by the Arizal in the 1500s, right? Even the smallest good thing, shokul bekama mitzvahs gedolos shebederes acherim, outweighs some great, great mitzvahs that were done in the early generations, because the early generations were like generations that saw greatness of Hashem. And our generations has the pun. This is really the time of the Arizal. Because in our times of the Ari HaKadosh, the klipas are so strong, are so thick. In the early generations, it wasn't like that. The Arizal said to me, if you would have been in one of the early generations, I would have been greater than the ones from in that time. It's like the Indian of Yesh Dorsh Shevach, Yesh Dorsh L'Gnai, by Noach. If you would have been in the Doris of Tzaddikim, you would have been even a bigger Tzaddik. Because in our generation of the flood, you're still trying to be good. In the generation of the flood, you're trying to be good. If you would have been in the early generation, you would have been a million times bigger. You wouldn't have had to contend with all the floods that are going on. Chen Shloyet Steyer, Alzeh Klak, Yibli Sofi, Geshel Nafshi, Maile Gedoy, La Kamet Tzadikim, Rishonim, Bizman Tanoim, Valmeroim. Therefore, Rabbi Chaim Vital said that my Rebbe said, comforted me and said to me, no, you should know that you're bigger than Tanoim and Amaroim. Tanoim and Amaroim. And Doris and Tanoim and Amaroim. Because in our door, Dari HaKadosh, in that door, you are who you are. It's the Fid Zman that you're living in. And we're now living in Ikvas of the Mashiach. And therefore, it's the generation has the time which is the lowest of all times that ever were. And therefore, the yesod of everything is to reevaluate ourselves, our children, and our students in light of this understanding, which is pnimius of the Or of the Ariya Kodesh, of the Baal Shem Tov Kodesh. I mean, Shem, we'll continue next time. No, you still keep the thing on you, I guess. Don't erase the thing that you have on your phone.
Mincha.
Yeah, Mincha. Anybody?
12:10? 12:10.
Anybody wants?